Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
The Bert Show.
You're going to have to explain to me exactly what love bombing is, okay? So let me explain to you the situation I have a friend in right now that is feeling uncomfortable because she's getting quote unquote love bombed, right? And when she was talking about some of these things, I'm like, that's just sort of how we used to do it back in the day.
I think you might be confusing wooing with love bombing.
Okay.
Because there's a difference.
So let me present to you what I wrote down that he is putting her through with this love bombing. Okay. They've been going out with each other for about 2 months. They go out the very first time. He texts her the next day and says that he had a very nice time, right? He sends some flowers to her a few days later saying he hopes that she's having a good day and hope the flowers put a smile on her face, okay? He texts her good morning every single day. That seemed to be like the major offense for her. Morning, thinking about you, or good morning, all right? And she says she's uncomfortable with it now because she feels like she's being love bombed. And I'm like, what exactly is love bombed? I don't think I quite understand the definition.
Well, love bombing, I feel like love bombing is more of a hindsight thing than it is in the moment. It's hard to tell in the moment.
Yeah.
Because you can have somebody who is a generous, super affectionate person. The love bombing, there's an ulterior motive. There's manipulation happening. You're love bombing somebody so you get them within your grasp and within your grasp, and then you can isolate them from their friends and their family and make them solely reliable on you, and then just completely control the relationship and control the situation. But you do that by initially love bombing them and making them feel like you are the greatest person on earth and that you just are obsessed in a good way with them.
It's a, like exactly what you said. It's a form of manipulation. So no matter how you're treated in that relationship, you feel either obligated or you have so many things that on paper are right about the relationship that you don't leave. So it's like, oh my God, well, he paid for my flight to go see, he paid for this vacation and he did this and he paid for this dinner and he texts me every morning, good morning. Who cares if he's doing X, Y, and Z that normally I wouldn't accept in a relationship? Mm-hmm. He's doing all of these things that on paper are something that I should be in love with.
It's to distract from some other sinister behavior.
Yeah.
Okay, so what she's describing here, at least it doesn't appear to be any kind of manipulation going on. I think he's just trying to woo her. He's trying to be a nice dude.
For me, the line was always like the genuineness in it, because some people are just that affectionate, and that's just the way that they feel like they should court you with a ton of flowers, a ton of messages, a ton of just over-the-top things. But if you're being over-the-top and it's not because that's genuinely who you are, it's more so because of what you're trying to accomplish, I feel like that's love bombing.
And I don't want you to take this as an insult. Because it's a compliment.
I'm already insulted.
You are such a generous and giving person. I could see a woman coming into a relationship if she has like some baggage from the past thinking you are love bombing her. But you are my friend, and knowing you for the past 13 years, you are just, you are a very affectionate person. You're a very generous person. You go above and beyond. And I know you're not a love bomber. You're just like, you're a wooer.
You be wooing.
You be
I don't know if I should be insulted because I really don't quite get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's, I don't know if there's anything to get. I'm just saying that's, I think that's how hard it can be sometimes deciphering. And that's why love bombing is like this manipulation tactic. And because it can be so shielded.
Yeah.
Or it can be hidden.
Well, you put it in a good way. Like, sometimes you can only see it in hindsight because if it is to distract you from something deeper going on in the relationship that's not that great, then you can't really tell until you get out of it and go, oh, yeah, there was actually a ton going on in that relationship that really doesn't align with what I'm looking for.
Because I guess, like, a woman starts dating you, and I can see her going back to her friends and being like, oh, my God, this guy is love-bombing me so hard. He pays for every single dinner. He texts me. He wants to hold my hand when we walk in public. He is just so thoughtful. He got me, like, the sweetest birthday gift. And when in actuality, you're not love-bombing. That's just who you are.
That's where I guess it's an old-school mentality.
Yeah.
So, like, if a guy that doesn't typically behave that way when he first meets a woman were to do the things that you would normally do, but he's only doing it in this particular case because he's trying to make this woman believe he's something he's not.
Okay.
That would be love bombing.
So at some point, does all that stop after he gets her? Is that what the love bomb is?
Well, there is a shift and then hopefully you see the person for who they are. But it's like once they get you in their clutches and then they can isolate you from your family and isolate you from your friends. Now they have control over you and can treat you like total crap. And you're going to take it because you were love bombed and you think this person genuinely cares and loves for you.
Okay. All right. But it's certainly not what she's saying here. Like, this is not love. At least we don't know if it's love bombing yet.
No, I mean, it might just be a little clingy. Yeah. Every morning, that's a little aggressive. Yeah, yeah.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, before we get Rebecca on to do today what she was going to do yesterday, I never in my life have I driven 1 hour for a meal. Never. Tommy does it regularly to Buc-ee's.
Two hours.
An hour there, hour back. Yep. Buc-ee's.
You guys kill me with this. You act like going across Atlanta is like this quest you have to go
on. This isn't across Atlanta.
Yeah, but you could drive an hour from one end of Atlanta to like Alpharetta. And you think it's like, oh my God, no. That's so far away.
Technically, he's not wrong. Because, I mean, I live in Buckhead. And sometimes, if I'm leaving at like 5 o'clock to go downtown, it's going to take me
an hour. For example, if you come out to my house, I live in Powder Springs. What up, The Rock? He's my neighbor. And you act like it's a long ways away.
It is. It's not.
I had to go to a soccer game in Powder Springs last week, and I just kept going.
I can be here in 26 minutes. Sure, I drive 90 miles an hour, but I can be here.
Okay, hold on. So from Powder Springs,
yep.
It took you how long to get to this Buc-ee's, and what city was that in?
Oh, I didn't go to Powder Springs. I just left straight from work, and I just kept driving. It's like Forrest Gump. I felt like running.
But for Buc-ee's, I mean, if you're going to go that far, like you would think Michelin star restaurant.
Dude, ask Mo. Try the brisket. It's worth it.
Mo,
it's worth
even with your great Buc-ee's experience, would you go an hour out of your way for Buc-ee's?
You can't ask him. He doesn't even have a car.
You just said ask Mo.
He did just say ask Mo. You want him to ask me at night time? I can see 30 minutes. An hour is insane.
But see, it's like 30 minutes from my house. Well,
an hour is crazy.
It's 40. There's a sign if you keep driving, it says 46 miles to Buc-ee's.
It tells you every single mile.
And I'm like, that's not that far.
I never met somebody that travels so far for a cardiac arrest.
I was craving brisket the other day, and I drove 10 minutes to DBA Barbecue on Roswell Road, and it was delicious.
And sounds more like it.
I just thought, I wish I thought of this yesterday, but I thought about it this morning. Next time I go to Buc-ee's, I spent an hour in there, y'all, just looking at stuff. So what I'm going to do
is Buc-ee's foreplay.
Next time, I'm going to take notes on different items, and we're going to play Buc-ee's Price is Right.
No, we can do that, but also, I have an idea, because we just got an email yesterday about our Christmas party. So I think our secret Santa, you must buy your gift from Buc-ee's for the person that you're buying for.
Or we should have the Christmas party at Buc-ee's. All right, Rebecca, we've got unfinished business from yesterday. Let's recap this and let's get right in here.
Yes, so I went to a girls' trip in Ireland, and all of the European men were ready to pledge allegiance to Abby. But unfortunately, they were willing to basically step on me to get to her, which had me feeling a little bit like a Duff, a.k.a. a designated ugly fat friend.
Which we have already established that you are not.
No, I'm a certified hottie. Noted.
Sexy.
Damn right.
No, duffs don't exist. But women, I think, are routinely, maybe not routinely, but sometimes made to feel like one when they go to the bar and their friend starts getting hit on and they feel ignored.
Leftovers. Instead of the duff, you're the third wheel.
Third wheel is
sometimes just, you're the seventh wheel. I've had friends where I've had to act like the bouncer for them. Like, I had a friend where we were at a bar in Nashville and she was lined up like she was freaking Mickey Mouse and everyone was just waiting to meet her. And I was like, 5 minutes, chump. Like, she's got to finish up with this loser.
That is kind of how I felt, because we were all sitting at a table in this pub. This European man, I think he was British, from Manchester. He was sitting next to me. I was in the middle of him and Abby. First mistake, first of all. And he wouldn't look me in the eye. He would not listen to any point of conversation that I tried to contribute. And at one point, he literally leaned over me so that he could get as close to Abby as possible. To which I said, "Would you like to switch seats with me?" And he ignored me.
That's the worst. When they, like, you're not even there.
Right.
All right. So.
Did you tell him, Abby, dude, you're such a turnoff right now because you're being so rude to my friend? Can I be honest? I didn't know it was happening in the moment. Because in my opinion, he's getting close to me because I literally couldn't hear this man. The bass was bumping. Coldplay was in town. So they were just playing the same seven songs over and over again. And for me, I was trying to talk to everybody. So I'm kind of known for being oblivious. I had no idea this was even happening.
All right, so what's your advice for those that find themselves in the same spot?
I invented a Duff Destroyer Care Kit.
Okay.
I have 5 household items that are guaranteed to make every woman worthy of eye contact by that annoying man at the bar.
Now, are you supposed to bring these with you to the bar / club, or these are pre-attending party?
So you'd have to have a pretty big fanny pack to carry all of this around. But this
you brought a box in. I can see you just walking into a bar with a box.
You know what I'm thinking? You need to sell these two bars so they can have like those kits where you have to break the glass to get into it.
Have them in the bathroom.
Yes. So they're in every woman's bathroom, every man's bathroom, Duff kits.
Duff Fibulator.
Yeah. Duff Fibulator. Okay.
Duff Fibulator. Thank you.
Really, we need that was brilliant. I'm sorry. We need a moment for that.
My work is done.
Yes.
In case of emergency, here is the Duff Destroyer Kit. Presenting the first item. It is literally a dog training clicker. He can't hear you. Now he can.
Okay. All right. Get his attention.
Use this to punctuate your sentences. But Rebecca, what if he's a visual person?
Uh-huh.
No sweat.
A cat toy?
It's a cat jingle jangle toy.
So it's one that's like on a rod and it's got like a fishing line to a bunch of colors and a bell.
Look at me.
It's very colorful. Put this in his line of sight.
Yes.
See if he can remain unfazed.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe if you strap some Cheetos to it too, it'll really get his attention.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm glad you said that because... The third item, it takes sort of a hard left turn. Let's say the cat jingle jangle toy, it worked well. He was very responsive. Immediately, you take this out. You pass him a fruit snack.
Pavlov's dog's training him.
That will get his attention.
Give him a tweet.
You need to positively condition men. Every time he looks you in the eye or responds to something you said.
These are tricks I use with my toddler, Rebecca. Like, literally some of these things. Look at me. Look at me.
Do we really evolve that much from our toddlers?
Pass him a single fruit snack. Okay. Uh-huh. Now you've sort of assaulted a bunch of his senses. He might be feeling overstimulated, overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You need to reorient him, bring him back home, which is why you take out this and you spritz him. Axe body spray blue lavender.
I think that's underrated. I got to be honest
you
with you.
You would like to spray it in here. Do not spray it in here. I will hurt you. Don't do it.
Honestly, do it.
Don't.
No, okay, it's okay, lavender. Hello. Don't do it.
Please don't.
I do. The worst thing about me is that I kind of like this smell.
I think Axe is underrated. I'll say it.
I think it's rated exactly right.
But this calms the man.
Okay.
But let's say you went through all four products. Mm-hmm. You should usually be able to stop there. But in case of true emergency, if he hasn't responded to anything, you bring out the emergency big red button. Slap it on the table in front of him. Hit the button and this noise will play.
Greetings, insert male name. It is important that I bring to your attention the fact that I am a human woman sitting here. You can speak to me and also hit on my friend. Godspeed on your endeavor.
I think the combination of all of them is a pretty good safety net.
It's just brilliant. For someone.
Brilliant. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Are we about to expose a dirty little secret about one industry? All right, if you are a professional photographer, you get paid for this, 1-855-BURT-SHOW, and I want to put you on the voice disguiser, and I'm asking for total and complete honesty from you guys. Professional photographer, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. This is the DM I get the other day, okay? Hey, Burt. I've been listening to your show since high school. I can't believe I'm messaging you. You guys don't need to, like, that first line there. You guys don't need to tell me that. I've been listening since high school. I don't need to know all that. It just makes me feel low.
I always kind of like that. I'm like, oh, you're a long-time listener.
Oh, my God, I've been listening to you since I was 5, and I'm 62 now. Okay. Anyway, I have a career as a nurse, but the past couple of years, I picked up photography. I now have a nice little side job that's becoming a moneymaker, but I'm still new at it. And I have to confess something to you because I think you said on your stories you're dating a professional photographer. Yeah, my Instagram stories. I have mentioned that. Maybe this is a question for all photographers. Do photographers ever pass up jobs because they know they won't be able to take good pictures of those they are shooting? She says, I'm trying to avoid saying it, but since you guys don't know me, do photographers ever pass up jobs because the people are aesthetically unpleasing, as you say? I have no other photographer friends to ask and can't find anybody online talking about it. So am I the only superficial photographer? I know I sound like a jerk, but wondering if this is just an unsaid secret in photography. 1-855-VIRGIO. So what she's asking is maybe she'll get a lead online or whatever, and then she'll go to their Facebook page and realize that they're not pretty people. And she's like, I can't do anything with that. And then turns down the job. Do photographers do this? 1-855-BURT-SHOW.
I mean, it's so subjective, though. Like, beauty is so subjective.
Sometimes fugly is fugly. Save that.
That might be the truest thing you ever said.
Yeah, sometimes you can't hide fucking.
Listen, man.
Sometimes you can't.
Sometimes it's universal. You know what I'm
saying? Sometimes you can't Photoshop ugly.
Listen, so it is objective, but a really good photographer wouldn't turn it down because it's about the aesthetic of the photo, and they can make anyone look good. If you look at me right now on our videos on Facebook, I look like a tomato had a baby with the pigeon lady from Home Alone, okay? It is true. And
don't you talk about my friend like that.
I own it. Pigeon lady was a boss. But anyway, my point is, if you look at my wedding photos, I look like an ethereal bride goddess. Now, my makeup artist, shout out to Erica Bogart, had a lot to do with that. But the whole point is, photographers know how to angle you and position you. They know how to bring in the light so it looks good. And then there's a fun little tool called Photoshop where they can go in and post and fix stuff.
So what she's saying is maybe she's so new to this, like, I can't Photoshop fugly is what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So we got a couple of photographers willing to go on the voice disguiser to say if she's just being superficial or this is an industry secret. Hey, Jen, good morning. You were on the voice disguiser. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're a professional photographer.
Yes, for 14 years.
Okay. Have you ever turned down a job because the people that requested you are just ugly?
No, because I'm a strong believer in that's proven the myth that people aren't photogenic. And for me, it's really important for people to feel like they have a safe space and to empower people. And I think if that's how you look at the world, I think you have to look at yourself and reflect a little bit. Maybe there's some insecurity there. But I think definitely, like, also it comes with skill, learning lighting and angles and how to direct people.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. If I were you, I wouldn't have gone on the voice disguiser. I would have plugged my business. Yeah. That's a real good answer right there.
Well, we have a client for you, Jen, that this other person who DM Bert turned down because apparently they weren't aesthetically pleasing enough.
Okay, here's Jessica willing to go on the voice disguiser. Hey, Jessica, good morning. Do some photographers turn down jobs because they're like, I can't do anything with this couple?
Good morning. No, personally, I would never turn down anyone. In fact, I make it my goal to, like, make you look and feel as beautiful as possible. And sometimes that means a little bit of extra Photoshop, but anything to make the client happy. Now, I will turn them down if their budget isn't big enough, though.
If their budget isn't big enough?
She's like, I don't care about your busted face, but I do care about your busted budget.
Do you charge ugly people more?
It's more work.
No, I wouldn't charge them more, but say if you come in with a small budget and you're demanding a lot of things, then I'm going to probably turn you down way before I turn you down if you're not good looking.
Sure.
So I have a professional photographer friend who just texted me and said she doesn't turn people down for looks. She does boudoir photography. She turns them down based on personality.
Okay.
Like if they're going to be difficult to work with or very demanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what she was just saying.
Yeah.
Also. Good morning. One more photographer on the voice disguiser. Good morning. We will call her Sarah. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Okay. Have you ever turned down anybody because you're like, I can't do anything with that aesthetic right there?
No, I don't. It's experience and it's money. And you don't have to post them on your social media. And it's good experience to kind of get those difficult clients' pictures.
Okay.
Oh, so you use them for practice.
And you don't share your work.
There you go.
All right. I would like to reopen the Bert Show Book of Records to the woman that has the largest number of both shoes and bags. All right, it's a combo of both, right? I saw this video this weekend, which I've actually done with my ex-wife also. I walked into the closet one time after, I remember being upstairs working and hearing Stacy downstairs, just years and years ago, saying that she had nothing to wear or she had no shoes to wear for an event we were supposed to do that night. And I'm like, I was just in that closet. I know there's plenty of shoes. So I walk in there and there were so many that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take each and every pair of these out, put them in the living room for her to see. So when she walks in, she can see how many shoes she has.
So you actually did what this dude did in the video?
I did the exact same thing.
No way.
It wasn't well received.
No.
But she walks in the house in this video. And he has done the exact same thing I did. And he's got a number of how many shoes she has.
Eric. What are you doing? That's 100.
No.
That's 105 pairs of shoes, Leslie. Who needs 105 pairs of shoes?
I do.
105 freaking pairs of shoes. I have 4 pairs of shoes.
Now you gotta put it all up.
Do you need this many pairs of shoes?
Yes.
You need this many pairs of shoes?
Yes.
This is unreal. This doesn't even include the garage and the laundry.
Okay. So, clean them up.
No, you pick them up.
All right, so what I'm looking for is not only the amount of shoes, but the combination of shoes and bags. 1-855-BIRCHO. We could put you on the voice disguiser. Who would have the combination, the most of those two combinations?
Why is he trying to yuck her yum? Like, it makes her happy.
Mm. Yuck her yum.
Yes.
Yuck her yum.
This, I played a video recently of a mom talking to her daughter about not stealing somebody else's joy, not yucking their yum. She's actually selling t-shirts now, which I think is, like, great for her. And she had this long talk with her. So, shoes aren't your thing. Cool. She obviously loves shoes. Why you gotta yuck her yum and hate on her shoes?
I'm guessing they have a budget together. Right?
Well, that's one thing.
104 pairs of... I'm totally five. On this dude's
you took,
side.
You took away.
105. What do you need 100? And I am guessing in there, if you really split them up into categories, she has 8 that are the exact same shoe.
I will count mine today, and okay. I will come with a number tomorrow.
All right.
Sometimes you need a different variation. You need like a nude pump, but you need a new wedge as well. So I opened up the video because I wanted to see what the people were saying in the comments because I was curious whose side they were going to take. And I think this comment speaks volumes about the actual video, that this isn't about the shoes. There is some deeper problem that he decided to lash out by using something that's always kind of agitated him. But if there wasn't like a problem that they have been battling in their marriage, he would have never done this. He's just using this as a tactic to really get under her skin.
I'm with the lady on this one. I'm the problem. So I told my grandmother I didn't know what shoes to wear to my show, and she walked into my closet and counted my shoes. No one's ever done that. It's the first time they've ever actually been counted.
Ooh, can we guess?
Sure.
Because you are a sneakerhead.
I am.
Mm-hmm. 40? 40 pairs of shoes?
Higher.
60.
60 pairs of shoes?
Higher.
70.
Higher.
80.
Higher.
90.
Lower.
85.
Higher.
89.
Lower.
87.
No! 87
pairs of shoes.
My man.
Come on.
And
man.
You know why I feel like I don't have a pair to wear? Because she explained it to me. You don't have a pair you haven't worn yet. You got to have at least one pair that you haven't worn yet and you feel safe. But when you've worn every pair you have, it just feels like you have nothing.
I am shooketh.
It's a sickness, man. I don't know. It is what it is.
No, it's like you're a collector.
That's my thing.
It's your thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am shooketh. Here's Marissa. Good morning. We are looking for the combination for the Burt Show Book of Records, most shoes and bags.
Okay, so that's my mom, like her name. She's the one person I know who has the most shoes and purses, always like buying new ones. She probably has like, I think, over 100 shoes and probably over 20 purses.
100 shoes, 20 bags. Okay, 120. Yeah. Thank you for calling. Good God. Mo, you got some work to do. Jamie's way ahead of you here. Hey, Jamie, good morning.
Good morning. I have a little bit of a different answer. My boyfriend has 135 sneakers.
Mo would like to come over and see his collection.
I got to go to the mall. I'm doing bad down here.
Have you ever done the math on what 135 pairs of sneakers might be?
No, I'm too scared to know.
I would never do the math either.
What do you normally pay for a pair of shoes? Like 220?
It could be anywhere. I say on average, probably about, 220 is a good number.
220. For average. Right, so let's do the math on this.
You ready for this?
No, I'm not.
19,149.
It's over like a decade, though. But damn.
No wonder why you don't have a car.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
6 months ago, had I seen this headline or seen this article, I would have just swiped right by it and gone on to something else. But Kristen turned me on to this TV show, The Bear, which has changed my life.
It's so stinking good. And I mean, you don't have to be a foodie to enjoy it. It's actually quite the opposite because you were not a foodie. But the Bear, starring Jeremy Allen White, it's based in Chicago. I would label it a gritty comedy.
It is. It gets dark sometimes. This last season, man, dude's going through it.
Have you gotten to the Christmas episode?
I've seen them all.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's stressful.
Right?
You know, there are some TV shows you watch where they cut it. It's not only the volume of everybody's voice and the intensity of what they're talking about, but the way they cut the scenes also can stress you out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's how this one is.
So Jamie Lee Curtis plays Jeremy Allen White's mom, and she does a phenomenal job being crazy.
So if you're a new listener, when Kristen says that I'm not a foodie, that's a bit of an understatement. Most of my life, I just didn't care about food. Food for me gets me from A to B. I don't care about taste. I would rather drink than eat. Get me through it. Move on. I start watching this show.
It's fuel, not fun.
It's fuel, not fun. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. All right. This goes under the underlying umbrella right now of me not enjoying the journey, just wanting to get to the destination as fast as I can. Screw the journey. Anyway, when it comes to food now, so now I'm starting to get a little bit curious about it. Like, I don't go to, like, 5-star restaurants very often, just not my jam, not exactly sure which fork to even use. They feel stuffy to me, and I just don't like food that much to even appreciate this little dot food that's in front of me.
I mean, Abby and I love food so much. We started our own little food critic review, 2 Girls, 1 Review. So give us all the dot food. Give us all the phones.
Right.
Give us all the great ambiance, the overpriced beverages. We're in.
Well, we would prefer underpriced beverages, but for now, we'll take the $25 cocktails for the review.
So as I said, I would normally have just gone right over this article, but now it catches my attention because I think when I tell you what this profession is, which is one of the top 5 unhealthiest jobs in America, you'd go, I might still even take it. And that is being a food critic, which to you probably sounds like a great idea.
Heck yeah. Well, I mean, like Top Chef is one of my favorite shows. And I mean, it's essentially judges being food critics throughout the entire show. And I'm obsessed with it. I want them to come to our city so bad. I don't know why they haven't, because I feel like we have a little food mecca here. And I want to be a part of an episode in some way, somehow, even if I'm just going to one of their events so I can eat their food. I'm obsessed.
It's a miserable job. Being a food critic is a miserable job. And it's an unhealthy job. So this dude from the New York Times, I guess he's a very well-known, maybe he's like the Michael Jordan of food critics, Pete Wells, announced that he's going to be resigning from his job after like 12 years. He was one of these guys that gave reviews, but who obviously couldn't show your face, because if a restaurant knows you're in there, they're going to kiss your ass and make your food a little bit different, right? So now people know who he is. And he says that he is letting the industry go. For a lack of excitement for the job. He's apathetic about it, and he cited his poor health as the main motive for him taking off. Some of this stuff all of this stuff, actually. I had no idea about food critics. He says, my scores, his health scores, he went to the doctor to get some blood tests, were terrible across the board. He says his cholesterol, his blood sugar, his hypertension, worse than he had expected, and even in his doomiest moments. Pre-diabetes, fatty liver disease, metabolic syndrome were all thrown around. He was technically obese because of how much food he had to eat. And then after he came out and he said, man, this job seems great to everybody else, but it kind of really sucks. A whole bunch of other people that critics that have left recently also said the exact same things. So the sheer volume of consumption that restaurant critics have to eat is really, really astounding. I didn't know this.
So they have to eat the whole thing?
More than the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
This is an article, I think, from the New York Times. Not only are they eating out daily, they're often taking down multiple meals on assignment and even doubling down on some. Another critic said he would go on back-to-back dinners more often than he cares to, like, admit. Another one said that they eat, I want to get down to this 36 one. This is the one that blew me away. Sometimes they will have, like, samples of 36 different things on the menu before they actually get to the main meal that they're going
to
review.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I guess in order to be fair, like, it wouldn't be fair to a restaurant to have one dish and rate the restaurant on that one dish.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why you'd want to try as many dishes as possible before you either give them a superb rating or you, like, you hold, and there's also so much power in a critic's hand, because if you are a well-known critic and a critic that people look up to, you could tank somebody's business.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Their career,
like,
for sure.
You can ruin their livelihood.
Yeah. And Keith Lee do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Keith Lee, the viral food critic that he goes around the world and tries food from different restaurants. And, like, once he became super famous, it became a little more difficult for him to just go up in people's restaurants and eat.
Is that right? Sure.
If he gives you a bad review, it's a long day for you.
Some of these people saying, I was obese. I didn't even realize it at the time. This guy, something Platt was saying, one of these critics also, that he's being treated for gout, hypertension, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes. It's like the last job you would want. And you have to eat out 6 times a week.
It would take the fun out of it. Yeah. Like, I love, yeah, part of the fun of going out to a restaurant, especially, like, for women, it's like getting dressed up and having a cocktail and enjoying time with your friends. And, like, the food just makes it better. But then to go and take that experience, which is normally people's recreation, mm-hmm, and make it your job.
Right.
It would be miserable.
And they all are.
I have always wondered, when you are watching Top Chef and they still have, like, quite a few chefs, like, the show first starts out, and the judges have to eat every single one of their dishes. I'm like, you got a puke bucket back there or something?
It's fun when it's your hobby, not so fun if it's your profession, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Bingo. The Burt Show.